This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco, your local public radio, heard around the world on KALW.org. It's 7 o'clock in San Francisco and the West Coast, and time for Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Joshua Kosman, and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions here on Minds Over Matter.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And we are back here with a full complement of testosterone this week because it was a mostly women panel last week. Jerry held up his end, I'm sure, very well. Welcome back to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely week and are enjoying your Thanksgiving time of the year. We hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always will be an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation right here. Please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions, and hopefully you'll be giving us questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week. So again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world. I happen to listen to it on my vacation in Denmark, so you actually can listen to the show anywhere in the world, or almost anywhere in the world that has internet, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available soon afterwards, also at kalw.org. So that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman is dreading his version of Black Friday when all the Thursday leftovers are eaten and he's back to tuna sandwiches. Couldn't they last maybe one more day?
Yeah. with Hanukkah and Thanksgiving falling together this year, Joshua Kosman is going to cook 8 turkeys and only burn 1.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is just back from Copenhagen, Denmark, where he ate a Danish, sampled herring, wore his Dansko shoes, but refused to dye his hair blonde.
I wanted to stand out in some way.
And those of you listening on the radio may not realize that Dana's flowing locks are one of his most alluring features.
It's often been said.
Yeah.
And we'll begin the question with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, well, I have a few president questions today because of the 50th anniversary of Kennedy's death. At the Texas Theater where Lee Harvey Oswald was caught, what 2 movies were playing?
I know one, which is, I think it's called Men in War.
No.
Or it's something very close to that.
It's Men, close to that, but that's not it.
Men and not Men in War. It's Men. Oh, well, I'll have to work on that. Okay.
They're both war movies.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, okay.
I don't think he went in because he wanted to see the movie. So that was your question? You didn't have another one?
I do have another one.
Okay.
Who was the longest living president? One guess each.
Who died at the
the oldest age.
Or hasn't died yet?
Yes.
You know this, so I'm just looking at you, but my guess is always John Tyler for anything sort of longevity or family-related.
He had the most
related
kids.
And he had them over a period of about 60 years.
Yeah.
Not even in the running.
Well, Hoover.
No.
Really, he lived to be 90.
Did he?
I think 90 or 91.
No, that's
your
guess.
I'm going to make another guess because I know who
you
has.
Don't get to.
Yeah, watch me. I know the longest presidential marriage by far is that of George and Barbara Bush. So I'm going to guess that George Poppy Bush is maybe now the oldest president.
No.
Okay.
He's not 90 yet.
No?
He's 80, okay. He's in his late 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But that is by far the longest running marriage.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, why don't you repeat those questions, sir?
What president lived the longest, has lived or did live the longest?
Hmm. Okay.
It's not Hoover.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Garrett from Union City.
Hello.
Got a couple of questions.
Okay.
First one, Josh, I'm really interested in. You know, a few months ago, somebody was that Lionel Barrymore, he narrated an opera by Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
That was composed by somebody named Eugene Zadar. I wonder if Josh will know the answer to this question. What film composer did Eugene Zadar orchestrate for?
Did he orchestrate for? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What?
No,
what did he orchestrate for? What movie?
Well,
he orchestrated for one film composer in particular, known for his religious epics.
Oh, religious epics. Let's see. What would this be?
You're better than I am on movies.
My least favorite kind of movie,
film
religious epics.
Who wrote the music for, you know, Ten Commandments?
No, it's not Ten Commandments.
Not Ten Commandments?
It's the same decade, though.
There are other religious epics?
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
The Robe.
It came at the end of the decade.
Oh, like the greatest story ever told kind of thing, or Ben-Hur?
No, yeah, Ben-Hur. Yeah, who composed Ben-Hur?
Did that.
Franz Waxman.
Not, yeah, I was thinking Franz Waxman. Miklos Sroza.
Yes, give yourself a bell.
All right. There you go.
Let's see. Oh, and this will be in Thanksgiving. Miklos Sroza scored a movie that dealt with Thanksgiving. You know what it was called?
Thanksgiving. Dealt with Thanksgiving.
Hmm. Oh, was it,
Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, Plymouth Adventure.
Yep, give yourself a bell.
Yeah, that was a big...
famous movie.
I remember the review, there was a famous review of that said, this is your Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, that's good. Spencer Tracy was in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
And Josh, it's your turn.
All right, I'm going to do a twofer here briefly. This week, or in the last week or two, Eleanor Catton, the young New Zealand writer, was the youngest writer to win the Booker Prize, the Man Booker Prize, which goes to a novel written by someone in the British Commonwealth for The Luminaries. She was 28. Who was the previous youngest winner at 32? Who was before Eleanor Catton broke the record? Who was the youngest Man Booker Prize winner?
Now I think the Americans can
next year,
off.
As next of next year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And let me throw them both out. Also this week, Magnus Carlsen became the second youngest chess champion at 22, beating Anand, who was the youngest chess champion, also 22, but a few months younger than Magnus Carlsen.
Wasn't Bobby Fischer 22?
No.
For the first part of that, Zazie Smith?
No, good guess.
She's pretty young.
She was young, but not this young.
Man Booker. How long ago, can you give us a general idea?
1991.
Okay. Still active today?
You know, I don't know. It's a name that I recognize only for this one book and having won this prize.
Okay.
It's not a particularly... I thought I would find out who was the youngest... one person to ever win the Nobel Prize for Literature, but it was some nobody in the 20s, you know, who wrote her first novel at 24, and I'd never heard of her.
Oh, the youngest person to win the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Pulitzer Prize, excuse
Pulitzer
me, I misspoke,
Prize.
Not the
was
Nobel
who?
Prize. You know who the Nobel, I was going to ask the Nobel Prize, that's
Kipling.
An easy one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you asked that. Yeah.
All right, why don't you repeat
all
those
right.
questions?
Before Eleanor Catton, who won the Booker Prize this week for The Luminaries at 28, who had been the previous youngest winner at 32, and also who is the youngest chess champion at 22, Magnus Carlsen, who took the title this week, is the second youngest.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is this me?
It is you.
Okay, well, this is Alan. So, wasn't Reagan in his 90s?
Yeah, I think he was, but he's not the oldest.
No, he's not. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. What Thanksgiving food was originally used to treat arrow wounds?
What kind of wounds?
arrow wounds. You know,
arrow.
Like a bow and arrow. What Thanksgiving food, or was sometimes used at Thanksgiving, was originally used to treat arrow wounds?
Well, stuffing, of course.
I was going to guess cranberries because there's
You're right. You're right. Cranberries.
Well, because it's not edible.
Yeah.
Stuffing, hence the term.
All right, good. Yeah,
okay.
Good. All right. Sarah Josepha Hale, who was the force behind the Thanksgiving holiday, she wrote the letter to President Lincoln that suggested Thanksgiving be made national holiday, is better known for several other things, one of which happens to be that she wrote one of the most famous poems in the world.
Mm.
What could that poem
be? What's her name
be?
Again? Hale?
Sarah Josepha Hale, American.
Famous poems in the world.
Yes. Sarah Josepha Hale, who was the force behind making Thanksgiving a national holiday back in the 19th century, and is also known as one of the as the author of one of the most famous poems in the world.
Is it a patriotic poem?
It is not a patriotic poem.
Is it a, is it a poem that we generally sing?
It can be.
Okay.
It has been put to music, I believe.
But it's, okay. I mean, it's not like, you know, the words to
America the Beautiful
or something like that.
No, it is not. It's not patriotic.
It was written as a poem.
But it has.
But it has been said.
It has been sung. Yes. Yes. But it is one of the, easily one of the most famous poems in the world.
Is it one you would probably learn when you were in school?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yes. Once more, Sarah Josepha Hale, who was the force behind making Thanksgiving a national holiday, also happened to be the author of one of the most famous poems in the world, a poem that all of us know and probably learned in school.
Who are Hiawatha? Longfellow.
Yeah, no, not that.
Okay.
Okay, since you answered that first question, let me give you...
You're done.
One other. No, no. You'll like this, Jerry. Well-known performer was the first man to portray Mrs. Santa Claus in the Macy's Day Parade.
I never watched that.
What well-known performer was the first man to portray Mrs. Santa Claus in the Macy's Day Parade, Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Oh, well, what's his name? You know, Harvey Fierstein.
That's right.
Okay.
Really?
That's right.
Okay.
It just had to be him.
2003.
It has to be him.
Yep. Very good. Okay. And let's go to
Irma,
a call.
Whatever her name is. Thornblad.
Yeah,
Edna Turnblad.
Edna Turnblad, yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, Bill in San Francisco.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I've got no answers.
That's okay.
Nothing. But I have a question.
All right.
My kids are, we're doing like home study of Tanzania. So I have two questions about Tanzania.
Tanzania.
My kids.
Okay.
First, what is the country named after? And second, what is its capital?
Well, it's named after two different countries.
Tanganyika and...
Tanzania. Or,
Zanzibar.
Zanzibar, yeah.
Very good on number one. And number two is...
The capital of Tanzania. Is it...
Isn't it
Victoria?
No. Isn't Zanzibar...
No, Zanzibar is...
That's the
Tanzania City.
No.
No.
Thinking of Dar es Salaam, aren't you?
Always,
yeah.
But that's not the capital.
The capital of Tanzania, is it Kigali?
No.
That's Rwanda.
Since 1996, it's had a different one. It used to be Dar es Salaam.
Is it a new city or they just moved it?
No, it's a city that existed.
Is it a name we would recognize for any other reason?
Yes.
No.
It's the capital of Tanzania.
Well, I mean, as a famous trading city like that.
No.
Okay.
But it's a pretty famous country. So
we should know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know, though.
Dodoma.
Spell?
Yes, that's the name of it. D-O-D-O-M-A.
D-O-D-O-M-A. Ooh, all right. Well,
that's Mike and Liam.
Double dome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All
right. And you're listening to the Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We have a couple of lines open right now. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134.
Yes. There's so many country capitals I could have answered, and he hits us in the weak spot.
I know. I feel the same.
Yeah.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, here's another presidential question. Who received Secret Service protection longer than anyone in history?
So you're referring to a president or a...
No. This is...
Or a first lady?
What person received Secret Service protection longer than anyone in history.
It's going to be someone who was a child in the White House and then lived to be 110 years old. So that means it's like Edith Roosevelt Longworth.
Alice. No, that's a good
guess. I'm on the right track, right? I mean, it's
sort of. Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Could be a first lady, you know.
Or could be, I don't know, how long has the Secret Service been around? Could it be John Quincy Adams?
Secret Service has been around since the Civil War.
Oh, all right. So, no, then. How about Margaret Truman?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Not Margaret Truman. Truman. Maybe.
Bess Truman.
Yeah, right. Oh, really?
She lived to be 98.
Yeah. She outlived Margaret?
Margaret's still alive.
Margaret. No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive. Yeah. Yeah, Bess Truman was 98. Very good. Okay.
You guys are so sure about this.
I think she's a still.
I'm pretty sure I remember when she died because, you know, she's a special figure for music critics because of her father.
I know. Paul, what's his name?
Paul Hume.
Paul Hume.
Paul Hume.
I think she's alive.
Okay, you may be right. You may be right. I think you're wrong, but
she's probably about 80 now.
Was that the Post or the Star or what?
Post.
Post.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one more, and I'll be finished with my presidential questions.
All right. And, we answered that, so you better give us another.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What president was married to a first lady whose first name was Eleanor?
How about Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
No. Her first name was Anna.
Oh, aren't you clever?
Okay. Eleanor. This was her commonly used name, Eleanor?
No.
No. Okay. Once more, Jerry. Read it once more.
What president was married to a first lady whose first name was Eleanor and it's not Mrs. FDR, whose first name, as I said, was Anna?
You don't really find Eleanor's...
I never knew
that. It's more of a 20th century, slightly more 20th century name. Mm. I don't know. Maybe not. But.
How do you like Harding?
No, I don't like Harding.
Okay.
He was married to the Duchess. That's what he called her.
Oh, yeah.
She's a well-known first lady.
Right. Right, right, right.
This is pretty trivial, but
of course
nonetheless.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Just,
we don't know the answer.
Eleanor.
Someone out there knows it.
Yeah, correct. Maybe.
And this was the commonly used name, too. So, how about Theodore Roosevelt?
No.
Right. He was married twice.
No, she didn't. She was not. She's not known with it for this the first name.
Oh, I thought you said she was.
No, she's. This is her first name, but right. She's not known by that.
Oh.
Makes it, that's why I said.
So it's
Betty Ford.
No.
No. No, that's Elizabeth. Okay.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter. You there?
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, I have an answer to the question. My name is Marilyn, about the movie that was being played while Oswald was in the building.
Yes.
I like both of them. Go ahead with what you have.
War is Hell.
War is Hell was first, and what's on the bottom part of the bill?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, well, that's where you got a bill for that. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Who was in War is Hell?
I want to say Van Heflin, but I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
Josh, it's your turn.
All right, I'm out of Thanksgiving questions. I've got some internet country codes. You know, the internet, the two-letter internet country codes that come after, like if you go to French
DK
website,
is
Denmark probably.
Yes, yes.
But I made a list of the ones that have different first letters from their English names, and there are eight of them. I'm going to ask you to name a couple. Now you like to whine, but you'll get.
I do like to whine.
You ready?
It's my pastime.
Write them down. There's eight of them. There's CH. D-E, D-Z, E-S, H-R, K-H, T-D, like touchdown, and Z-A.
So these are the
two-letter country internet country codes, and these are the ones that I could find that start with a different letter from the name for their English name.
Because it's in their native language, right?
Some of them are, not all of them.
Well, how would we possibly know? DZ?
Well, you might.
Yeah, okay.
Some of them you'll know, and some of them will leave to the smarties in our listening audience.
So like, DE is not... So like, is that Deutschland or
is it
Germany?
Deutschland, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. DE is the code for Germany because it stands for Deutschland.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Okay.
So in a if you were just to look at a regular map, the country's name would not start with any of these letters. But for instance, Deutschland being sort of
traditional
name for Germany.
In English. Their English names
do
not.
All right.
This is the ones that differ in their English names.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, DE is Germany.
Is ESI? Well, no. Sorry. I was going to say Ireland, but it's not.
Not Ireland. But you're right that that's the next one you can get. That's the one that's just as easy as Germany.
But not Estonia either.
It's not Estonia.
Because it doesn't start with the right letter.
No.
Okay.
All right. Leave it out. So I'm looking for the countries that go with these internet country codes. These are the ones that start with different letters from their English names. Dana got DE for Germany. I'm looking for CH, DZ, ES, which I think is the easiest of the remaining ones, HR, KH, TD, and ZA.
Well, I'll say either CH or KH might be Ireland. I'm thinking of Hibernia.
Good guess, but no.
Okay.
Neither of those is Ireland.
Good.
I think Ireland is actually just IR or something like that.
Okay.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hi. This is Jack in San Mateo.
Hi, Jack.
I'd like to answer the oldest president, I believe, was Gerald Ford at 93.
You're correct.
Very good.
Very good.
Oh, nice.
Good.
And he was also a member of the Warren Commission and was also the only person to ever become the vice president and the president of the United States without ever having been elected.
Very good.
And also I want to finish the top half of the marquee. You were saying what two movies were playing at the theater. The top billing on the top of the marquee, it was Cry of Battle.
That's the one with Van Affleck.
That was the one on the second part, I thought, but maybe it's reversed. Okay, that's right though.
I think the lower feature was had already been answered. Ward's Health.
Okay, thank you.
Right,
good.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job,
man. My bell. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have a question I think you might enjoy, Josh, hopefully.
All right.
But I'm going to limit you to one answer, okay?
Okay.
All right. There are three sets of states, and when I say a set, I mean there are two states. So there are three sets of states that border each other and whose capital cities begin with the same letter.
Three pairs of states.
There are three, that's okay, better way to do it.
Thank you.
Pairs of states who border each other in the U.S., and whose capital cities begin with the same letter?
That is a great question. I'm going to have to think about it for a second.
All right. Three pairs of U.S. states that border each other, whose capital cities begin with the same letter.
Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves.
And I will limit you to one set.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, good.
Oregon and California. Salem and Sacramento.
That's right.
You're absolutely right. Very good. Good job.
Good.
Jerry works out from where he is, right, where he's sitting.
That's all I know.
And,
I don't go any further east than that.
Yes, that is one. Sacramento, California, and Salem, Oregon. Okay. Remember that. So once more, there are three pairs of states that border each other and whose capital cities begin with the same letter. Jerry got one, which is Sacramento, California, and Salem, Oregon. Very good. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. Okay, so we think Eleanor might be Lady Bird Johnson.
Oh, Lady Bird Johnson.
No.
No.
She was Claudia. I thought about her for exactly that reason.
Good.
It was a good guess.
And CH is Switzerland?
Yes, that's exactly right. Do you know what it stands for?
Commonwealth of Helvetica?
Close. Confederation of Helvetica. In Latin.
Very good.
In Latin. Confederatio Helvetica. Yes.
And ES is Spain.
Exactly right.
Oh, of course.
My husband wants to ask you, who was the youngest president who lived the least number of years?
The youngest president who lived the least number of years?
Yes.
You mean who died at the youngest age? That would probably be Kennedy,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Thanks. Good job. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. If you'd like to join us here, the number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station.
I have a question for you. I'm going to confess, I'm going to betray my ignorance of central United States geography. Do Missouri and Mississippi border each other?
No, they do not.
Okay, thank you.
You're just a flyover guy, aren't you?
I really am. I really just all the I can name all the capitals, but I sure don't know where they all fit together.
Okay.
All right.
I was depending on that.
Yeah, it's a good question and, for just that reason.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed. How are you?
Good.
Well, Dana, you definitely missed last week.
Oh, not according to some of our callers, I understand.
No. According to Sonny, you were definitely missed.
All right.
Okay, so I have two really good questions. Okay, so Comet Izon is about to commit suicide, you know, Thanksgiving Day, getting real close to the sun. It has a chance of survival, but it may just completely dissipate and go away. Hopefully it won't. But there is an American writer. He was born on the arrival of Halley's Comet.
Mark Twain.
Very good.
He died on the same year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is his full name, by the way? Mark Twain. What is his
Samuel Langhorne Clemens.
Very good. Smart people. Okay, my second question is, if we look at all of the physics progress at CERN, which should have been in Texas before they dismantled the super collider, shamefully the Republicans did that some years ago, this whole reaction or discovery of the Higgs particle and so on is done by what's called proton-proton collision. So you get two proton, a proton and antiproton, you make them go real fast, and you smash them head-on. Just like if you have a watch, and like was the watch made out of, you smash it in the floor, and all of the pieces will fall from it. And this way, you know, it has what it has. It's exactly the same principle. So this proton-antiproton interaction was created by two UC Berkeley, very proud of them, scientists. Both of them were my professors in 1969, and they got the Nobel Prize for it in 1969. I want to really to have people remember the names. They were two great scientists. One was American origin, and one was Italian origin, but both of them are Americans. Do you have an idea who were they?
No.
1969. Can you guess?
I don't even get the
question. I do not. But yeah, that's a very logical question to leave out for people.
That would be great. I wish somebody listening in the physics department who can bring to memory this beautiful, two great professor from UC Berkeley. Right?
Okay.
In our, city of Berkeley. Thank you.
We'll do that. Thanks, Eve.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Let's see. Frank Tavares, spelled T-A-V-A-R-E-S, is the most widely heard voice in the history of public radio. Who is he? Frank Tavares.
He's the most widely... He's still heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what specifically does he do? I mean, what
right.
does he say?
Right.
Is he the one that says, this is NPR, National Public Radio?
He may say that, but that's not what he's known for.
So you're looking for one specific sentence or something like that?
No. He has a specific job.
Specific job, but he's widely heard on that. What is the most... frequently said things.
St. Paul and Minnesota and Springfield, Illinois.
No.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Okay.
keep working on it.
I'm working on it.
All right. Okay. So, but you're not looking for a specific sentence or anything like that. Okay. What could this be? Get the question once more.
Frank Tavares, T-A-V-A-R-E-S, is the most widely heard voice in the history of public radio. Who is he?
And still active.
Yeah. He's soon retiring. That's why this came up.
Oh.
He's been there 31 years.
So is he famous for saying
the
same thing always? Or like it's making the same announcement or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, I don't know.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Meredith in Palo Alto.
Hi, Meredith.
Hi. I have a classical music question, but I was wondering if Josh could recuse himself.
Sure.
Let the other two guess first.
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's a list of four classical compositions with a country in the title.
Oh.
Name the composers, none of whom come from the country name.
Oh, all right.
And they are the American Quartet.
Right.
The Scottish Symphony. The Egyptian Piano Concerto.
Yeah.
And English Suite.
I'm recusing myself from answering, but I'm not recusing myself. I'm just long enough to say that's a great question. Bravo. Thank you.
The English Suite is, that's Bach, isn't it?
Yes.
The Egyptian Piano Concerto, that's Saint-Saëns.
Right.
The Scottish Symphony is Mendelssohn.
Yes.
And what was the first one again?
The American Quartet.
Is that Antonin Dvorak?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Josh, because your voices sound different on the phone.
No, that was Dana. You should have made him recuse himself.
That was Dana. Oh, well done.
Oh, yeah, no, I was sitting silent.
I listen to a little classical music in my time.
Excellent. Incidentally, I think Margaret Truman is dead, even though she keeps writing mysteries.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to check
Thank
up
you.
On that.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. So.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hey, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
So I know one remaining internet code, which is that ZA is Zeus Africa.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm.
So I have a guess about the Booker Prize winner. Mm-hmm. Was it Salman Rushdie?
No. That's a good guess, but it was not Salman Rushdie.
Yeah, I just remembered it was his first novel, so I thought it might be. Okay, I have a three-part question for you guys about musical instruments.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to describe an instrument, and you tell me the name of the instrument.
Okay.
Okay, so first one is an Irish bagpipe that, instead of a blowpipe to fill the bag with air, uses a bellows, one of those things you pump to pump up a fire, for instance.
Hmm. These are just musical instruments not necessarily used in, for instance, a symphony orchestra.
No, in fact, none of them are. They're all folk instruments.
Okay. So
I don't know that. Well, give all three of them, and then we'll pick and choose.
Okay.
We've got an Irish bagpipe.
I will describe one of the musician's hands turns a crank, which rubs a wheel that's been rosined against a set of strings. And the musician's other hand plays a small keyboard.
That sounds like a hurdy-gurdy.
It is a hurdy-gurdy.
All right.
I thought it was going to be a glass harmonica until the strings came in.
And the third one is a single string stretched between two nails that are nailed into a wooden board with a glass bottle shoved underneath the string to make it tight.
Huh.
Hmm.
I love it. I want to play one.
Could you find that instrument in the United States?
Yes, it is an American instrument. It is from the American South.
All right. I seem to recall it's like in a long box or something, and it has a one string. I want to say that. I've seen pictures of it from sort of like a pre-Civil War sort of thing, I think.
It might be in a box, but it isn't always in a box.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they hit the string with a stick. Sometimes they bow it with a homemade bow. Sometimes they plunk on it.
Is this something developed by the slaves or more like an
African-American instrument?
Okay.
I assume it goes all the way back.
All right.
Some say it resembles certain African instruments, but it's pretty different.
All right.
I'll give you another hint on that one.
Okay.
There's a one of the first black rock and roll musicians.
Is it a stage name? It's Bo Diddley. That's what I was going to say. It's a Bo Diddley, isn't
well,
it?
Well, Bo Diddley is the guy I was going to talk about, but the name of the instrument isn't Bo Diddley.
It's a Bo Diddley stick or a Bo Diddley harp or something. A diddly bow. That's what it is.
Good job.
It's a diddly
bow. Good job.
All right.
Okay.
So all that's left is the uses of bellows. And
yeah.
I'm not really good.
Jerry, you're Irish. Wait, jump in here.
I have no idea.
May I venture to guess?
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
Oh, we got. Yeah.
All right, Kevin. Go, Kevin.
The resident folky here. That's the Illan pipes from Ireland.
Yep, that's right.
Good job. Good job,
Kevin. Pipe,
They're spelled
Gaelic words that's spelled with a U I E whatever.
They're called the Illan pipes because when you play them, you be Illan.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Okay, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do we have?
Well, Frank Tavares, Tavares, is the most widely heard voice in the history of public radio. Who is he? He's been there for 31 years, and he's about to retire.
All right.
And what president is or was married to a first lady whose first name is or was Eleanor?
And
it's not FDR.
Not FDR. Okay.
And speaking of Eleanor, I have a question about Eleanor Catton, who was now the youngest prize winner for the Booker Prize, the Man Booker Prize. Who was the youngest winner before that, who won it at the age of 32 in 1991? I'll tell you, this is an African a writer from an African country. And Magnus Carlsen is now the second youngest chess champion. Who was the youngest chess champion, also at 22, but a few months younger than Carlsen? And looking for the internet country codes, the internet countries that go, the countries that go with these internet codes, DZ, HR, KH, and TD.
Sarah Josepha Hale, who was the force behind the making Thanksgiving a national holiday, is also the author of one of the most famous poems in the world, and certainly a poem that everybody learned at some point in school. What poem is that? And it has been put to music in
its
history.
Is that the Pledge of Allegiance?
It is not patriotic.
Oh, you said
it's not patriotic. Sarah Josepha Hale, who was the force behind making Thanksgiving a national holiday, also wrote one of the most famous poems in the world. It is not a patriotic poem. And let's see. Do I have anything else here? No, we did not. Okay, so.
You've still got the adjacent states with.
Oh yes, thank you.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
There are three pairs of states that border each other in the U.S. whose capital cities begin with the same letter. There are three pairs of states that border each other in the U.S. whose capital cities begin with the same letter. Jerry. To all surprise.
Of all people.
Got one, and that was Sacramento, California, and Salem, Oregon. I'm still looking for the other two sets. Or pairs, I guess. And it's my turn, isn't it?
No, it's my turn.
Oh, it's your turn?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And that's all right. Well, no, the reason I'm jumping in here is because I have a question here that I just sort of kept as a in reserve because it's actually a repeat. But I'm going to say it now because anyone who gets this gets two bells. There are... If you put together the state capital and a state, like Sacramento, California, that's two words. But there are two cases in the United States where the state capital and the state said together make a total of four words. What are those two cases?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And?
And Santa Fe, New Mexico. Well, it's good I got one.
Yeah. But let's see if somebody can get them both, because right. Then they'll...
I've got another answer for the adjoining states with the same name.
Well, I should.
You didn't limit it to one.
I did with him.
Yeah, but I got nothing. So
all right, go ahead, Jerry.
Billings, Montana, and Boise, Idaho.
No, Billings is
Helena is the capital.
It's not the capital. Of Montana.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. So I should have called on
you. You should arrest on your laurels.
So I can humiliate myself.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was Billings. Okay.
Do you want to repeat that question?
Sure. I'm looking for the two state capitals, which, if you say them with their state, make a total of four words. Sacramento, California is only two words. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma is three words. But there are two cases where you get a total of four words if you say the state capital and the state together. What are they?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky, Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
I am looking forward to your piece on Kronos Quartet next week.
Oh, my.
Pages, Josh.
Thanks. I got to write it soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. It's written.
All right.
Thanks.
I'll run off to you an email on my favorite and least favorite recordings by them, but that's another story.
Okay.
I think the other state you're looking for, Josh, is Utah.
And the capital is?
Salt Lake City, of
okay,
course.
So now,
very good.
Give the man two bells, because Utah and New Mexico, with their S capitals, are adjacent, aren't they?
No.
No.
Aren't they the four corner states?
Corner each other.
They do not corner each other.
No. They're part of the four corners.
Are they the four corners?
Yeah, they are. Amazing. Which I thought. Oh, but they're
kitty corner.
They're kitty corner from each other. Oh
yeah.
Boy, I thought I had it.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right. You're
so,
right.
So yes, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. I thought that was going to be an answer to Jerry's question as well.
But yeah, Salt Lake City. Yeah, it's very good.
Good.
All right, but on the other hand, you've got Columbus, Ohio, and Charleston, West Virginia.
They're not adjacent, are they?
They darn well are.
Ohio and West Virginia?
I wondered about that, but I wasn't going to,
Yes, you're right.
Really?
There were four, and I
oh, really?
Three.
That's not one of the?
Yeah, it was one of them I had.
I got Ohio up higher and West Virginia lower.
Yeah. Well, it,
HR, that's Croatia.
That's exactly right. Well done.
Hmm. Yeah. My landlord is from Croatia, and he proudly displays that. While we're on the rolls sort of thing, the first lady whose first name is Eleanor, I'm guessing Michelle Obama.
No.
Okay. One last thing. Youngest chess champion, how about Garry Kasparov?
Exactly right.
Bam.
Well done.
We're done.
All right. Thank you.
We're done. Through. Bye.
Well done.
All right. So there still is one state left. One pair.
Well, there were two before.
I know, but now we're down to one.
I don't understand. Are there?
You got the Salt Lake City and.
I thought you said that wasn't okay. That was not legit.
No, it was legit. So because they are the four corner states. So yes, that's legit. Salt Lake City and Santa Fe, and then Sacramento and Salem. So there's
So there's still one left.
There's still one left.
Okay.
Two.
All right. No, one.
Oh.
And okay, what character has appeared as a balloon in the most Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Snoopy.
You're right. You're right. Very good. Very good.
My kind of question.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
You got two Thanksgiving Day Parade stories. question.
All right. I don't think I've asked this, but if I Josh would know. So
I'll try.
Tell me if
no,
I
can. I'll just pretend to be hearing it for the first time and answer.
I'm going to give you three presidents and vice presidents and. In other words, three in total, but one was a vice president. Two were vice presidents, but two were also presidents. And they all appeared in operas as characters in operas.
Okay.
So Chester Alan Arthur.
Are you asking what opera?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Chester Alan Arthur, John Quincy Adams, and Aaron Burr. And if you want to tell me the authors of the operas, you can do that too.
All right. Well, John Quincy Adams is the easiest one. That's the one I knew you were going to ask, which is Virgil Thompson, the mother of us all.
Very good.
Chester Alan Arthur, I believe, makes an appearance in Douglas Moore's opera, The Ballad of Baby Doe.
That is correct.
And Aaron Burr has me stumped.
That's the toughest one.
Yes.
That's the toughest one.
All right.
All right.
Can you explain how Harding appears in an opera?
Not Harding. No, Chester Alan Arthur.
Why he's in that?
There's a lot of there's a whole big weird plot subplot about the election with William Jennings Bryan
William
Jennings Bryan. No,
is it William Jennings Bryan?
Trust me on this.
Okay.
Unless it's the other guy. Who's on the other side of the monkey trial? Clarence? No, it's William Jennings Bryan. Silver and the Cross of Silver, and because it's
is that what the opera's about?
Yeah, because she marries a silver mining magnate, and Horace Tabor. One of the issues is whether American currency
who
is gonna,
Baby Doe.
She's known as
Baby Doe.
She's a gold digger, except she's digging for silver.
Okay,
it's a true story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a true story.
Great. She married a
and there
a
was
mining,
a,
seen it?
There was a movie I have
yeah,
seen the opera.
It, they did it here a few years ago.
And there was a good movie made out of the story too called Silver Dollar with Edward G. Robinson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's good. It's
all
good.
Right.
And
Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr, yes. And the opera is written by a famous conductor. So.
Well, is it 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
No.
You know what I just discovered? 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and 1776 are different pieces. They're not the same.
Yes.
You just found that out?
Yes. We live and learn.
That's one the is, Irving
one
Berlin
is, one
show.
One is by Irving Berlin and the yeah. other one is by...
Irving Berlin.
Wrote a musical comedy called 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, I was thinking of the Leonard Bernstein piece.
No, it was Leonard Bernstein.
It is Leonard
not
Bernstein.
Leonard.
Yeah. Oh, well, what's the winner? Oh, Mr. President. That's
Mr.
The winner.
President.
Three Stooges
yeah, yeah.
here?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Carry
people,
on.
People are waiting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let's go to a call.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Greg in New York.
Hi, Greg.
Greg.
How you guys doing?
Good.
1776 is in no way an opera.
No. I know. I was just
really
cracking wise. Do you know where Aaron Burr shows
it's barely
up?
Barely a musical,
I have
actually.
No idea about Aaron Burr. I have no idea. I was going to, you know, think it was, I was going to guess it was some musical, but obviously it's not. It's going to be an opera.
It's, yeah.
No, I can't help with the musical backlog, but I think I can clear up some of the geography backlog.
All right, good.
The missing pair of states is Virginia and North Carolina.
That is correct.
Raleigh.
Very good. Raleigh and Richmond.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Let's see. And then the internet codes. TD is going to be Chad.
That's correct.
How does anyone know this?
Well, because it's this French spelling. Yes. If you spell it in French, it's T-C-H-A-D.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
And then surely K-H is Cambodia.
It is.
Oh, Cambodia.
From
Chia.
No, from Khmer. Yeah, Khmer.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
And then this one, well, I think DZ is going to be Bhutan because the Dzongkha is the language of Bhutan.
Yeah, I knew you were going to pull that out. That's the most impressive piece of trivia that he knows. It is not right.
Oh no!
But the fact that you know the national language of Bhutan puts you head and shoulders above the rest of the world. Yeah. But no, you're not quite right.
DZ,
it's a tough one. There's not. I'm not sure how you'd really know it.
Yeah, I got nothing else on DZ.
What part of the world is
I'll
it?
I'll tell
in?
You.
Give us a general idea.
I'll tell you something. It's from a name that's etymologically related to a TV channel that you're familiar with.
Which
Does that
one?
Help?
Which one, Doc?
DZ?
I'm going to guess the TV channel is Al Jazeera.
Yes.
Oh,
no, I take it back. It's got nothing to do with Al Jazeera. No, I'm wrong. Never mind. But it's not. No, I take it back. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
There we go.
Onward.
Is it etymologically related, or are you just...
I'm just completely wrong. I was scrambling for something else.
Don't believe anything.
No, I'm wrong.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't have any, unless you... It's another Arab country.
It is. Right. It is.
It is another Arab country.
Yeah. But...
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Guys.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. It's Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
Okay, I have a guess on Jerry's question, just kind of trying to logic it out. The guy you mentioned on NPR, the most recognized voice.
Yeah.
So is he the guy who says, like, you know, support for the program by the Catherine T. Foundation?
Exactly right.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
He's the anonymous man who for 31 years has announced the underwriting funders, soon to be replaced by a woman. He records up to 1,600 different credits every other week from his home studio. Frank Tavares. Okay.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good one, Greg.
Bye-bye. And let's see. We have a couple of lines open. So if you'd like to give us a call, the number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let me see if I have one more Thanksgiving question that I need to use up today.
We have to wait till next year.
I was going
to
say, you don't have faith that the show will be here in a year?
Well, you never know.
Not the show, whether we'll be here.
Who was the first president to pardon a Thanksgiving turkey?
Oh, Kennedy.
No. No, it wasn't.
FDR.
No.
Eisenhower.
No.
Truman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was right around there.
Only 45
right
more
the,
to go.
Right around there.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Okay.
Good job. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
I had four more guesses for President pardoning the turkey. I would like to catch up with a question asked but not answered, I think 2 weeks ago. And strangely enough, the question was from me.
You gotta keep up with this.
About, oops, I almost gave it away. The country using by far the largest amount of men's cosmetics, and it's proportionately, you know, the per capita. And I don't think anyone came up with it.
I think we did. I don't remember, but
Do you remember that question? I don't remember that question. Was that one else?
Oh, I remember it, yeah.
You remember the question, but not the answer. I don't think there was an answer.
I seem to remember there was.
So this is, I'm sorry, you said per capita, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Ancient history in our world here. 2 weeks.
By the way, it's not from ancient history. It's current.
All right. I was going to say, yes.
I was saying ancient history in the life of the show.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see.
I don't know.
Would this be a...
He doesn't know. He's asking.
Oh, you are asking. Oh.
He said we met.
I did not
mention.
Ask the question, but
no. No, I did.
Oh,
no, he
did.
Asked it.
Oh, okay. What is it?
No, he wants us to
why
guess.
Why don't you have at least one guess?
Oh, well.
All right, let's think. Is it what you would consider an industrialized country?
Yes, very.
France?
Nope.
Spain?
Nope.
Okay.
Dana? This is the metrosexual era.
It's not North Korea, I suspect.
No, but I give it to you because it's South Korea.
Oh
really?
North Korea is
okay.
Really...
That's right. It seems to me we did answer, but
yes,
maybe
South Korea
maybe got blurred
one,
in the crosstalk.
1/5 of the world's men's cosmetics.
Okay.
And just a very quick follow-up. Remember the carbon dioxide business?
We have that every week from Mead. I don't know what...
The horrible figures about tons and tons of carbon dioxide.
Oh, yes, the footprint.
Well, I looked into carbon dioxide, and it's really, truly amazing because every body produces almost 2.5 pounds of carbon dioxide per day.
Yeah, Ed asked that a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week. Yeah.
I think he was talking about the overall.
Yeah, okay.
And
he was amazed, too.
It's, on the other hand, apparently... millions of years ago, carbon dioxide was 20 times more prevalent than today. So if we all hold our breath, maybe there is a chance.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Charles.
Bye-bye. I'm holding my breath.
Hey, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. Very quickly, to answer the question before. Well, carbon dioxide, by the way, we do use about 40,000 pounds every year.
It was
year.
You, I thought
very
so.
American.
Yeah.
40,000, that's a lot. Cars, 19.6 pound per gallon. Okay, the Nobel Prize winners in physics, and memory for them is Emilio Segre and Owen Chamberlain. Both of them received the Nobel Prize prize in 1959 for discovering the antiproton, and also predicting the equation of proton-antiproton interaction, which is all what is used at CERN to have all of the discovery, which should really admire them for two great scientists, Emilio Segre and Owen Chamberlain. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, great. Back to Truman and Margaret, you know, as you know, she did her music recital, her singing, and it was not received very well by the press. Do you recall that great quote that her father made upon reading the reviews?
I want to punch that SOB in the face. And
I thought he was
going to
break his leg
like
or something.
Punch him in the nose.
It had to do with an animal. I'm pretty sure it had to do with a domestic animal.
A jackass or something.
Well, he wasn't even swearing. I'll give it to you. I think he said regarding if you want a friend in this town, get a dog, something like that.
Ah,
right.
Yeah, I think that happened. Okay. And great show tonight. Good
Thanks.
Question.
I think I don't think it was Truman said that, but anyway, might have been.
No, actually, I think it was Truman.
It didn't have anything to do with Margaret Truman, though. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. It's Frank Tavares has already guessed, but I have a couple questions.
Sure. Very quick. Go ahead.
Okay. The coverage of the assassination of President Kennedy, what show did Walter Cronkite interrupt?
It was a soap opera.
Yes.
Like Days of Our Lives or something. That wasn't it, but it's a soap opera, yeah.
Yeah, let's see.
Guiding Light? No. No, that's not. No.
It's not something that's on anymore, though, is it?
No.
No, it's not. No.
It was on for 100 years, but...
Yeah.
Well, it's like Days of Our Lives, so, yeah.
Well, Jerry got it was a soap opera. Oh, As the World Turns?
It was As the World Turns.
Yeah, right. All right, yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
Kevin got that. Very good.
And the actress he interrupted, Helen Wagner, holds a Guinness record.
For the longest portrayal of a role in TV history or a soap opera?
That's it.
All right. Very good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sheldon in Richmond.
Hi, Sheldon.
I have the Britannica Year Book of the Year, and it's got the new words and meanings in it, and I want you to guess what year this is from.
Okay.
Let me try.
I'm going to start reading a few terms, and you guess the year. Texas toast.
Texas what?
Texas toast.
Texas toast. Pantyhose. Idiot light.
All right, better limit it to three. How about that?
Idiot light.
Okay. Acid rock.
Acid rock.
I'll say 67.
Acid. Oh, you're so close.
66.
Go the other way.
68.
69.
Exactly.
Right. 60. What is Texas? What is Texas toast?
Texas toast. It's a thick toast. It's a slice of bread.
I thick. Thought it was like Texas, you know, Texas tea or something. It was right. Metaphorical.
No, it's a
real toast.
Thick, twice a piece
right.
of bread.
Thanks.
All right. So, okay. Thank you. Oh, so this was all the same year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought they were different years. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Greg from New York.
Hi, Greg.
To solve the DZ question.
Right. Go.
But not really fairly, only because Josh's clue, I realized what was going on there. The answer is Algeria.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
I have no idea why it must be Al-Z-something.
Yeah, it's the local name for the country, Zaire.
Got it. Well, it was a great question. Thanks for
Thanks.
That one.
Thank you very much. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Did Aaron Burr make an appearance in The Mother of Us All?
No, Josh got that, and that was John Quincy Adams, I believe. But no, not Aaron Burr.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, okay.
Was he in that too?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, I thought there was an opera. Okay. Okay. I know the Sarah Joseph Hale question, but I cheated. So.
Oh well, go ahead and give the answer anyway. It's all right.
It's Mary Had a Little Lamb.
That's right.
Oh,
Mary Had
really?
A Little Lamb. Yes. Yes.
That's great. Yeah. I had no idea that was written by anyone.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yes. Josepha Hale was
Josepha.
The author. Josepha, excuse me, was the author of Mary Had a Little Lamb. And time to clean up. What do we got, Jerry?
Okay. The president who's married to the first lady whose first name is Eleanor is Jimmy Carter, Eleanor Rosalynn Carter.
Okay.
And then the youngest Booker Prize winner before Eleanor Catton was Ben Okri of Nigeria, who wrote The Famished Road.
Is that it for you?
Yep.
Okay. The Aaron Burr appeared in the opera The Man Without a Country by Walter Demirosh.
Oh.
So, taken from the famous story. So, if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We hope you are having a lovely week and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. If you find yourself in possession of a lot of wonderful things at Thanksgiving, try to share them with those who may have a little bit less. And please join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. So take care, everybody. Bye-bye and thanks.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother.